Take your Bibles. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to begin in verse 1 and go through verse 8 this morning. We've been in a study within 1 Corinthians on don't lose heart. The Apostle Paul is telling us reasons why he didn't lose heart, reasons why he didn't quit, reasons why he didn't give up. And we know in our world today and in America, it just seemed like one crisis after another coming upon us. We know that this world without God is going to have these kind of things, but they should not, church, affect the believer, because we are not of this world. Our kingdom is not of this world, and our kingdom is of God. And so what we're going to be looking at tonight, or this morning, is the fourth in a four-part message on don't lose heart. And we're going to be looking at chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. We have a future hope. Reason why we don't lose heart, we have a future hope. And this is a good study. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to go into 1 Corinthians 15 on the resurrection of the believer, the bodily resurrection. What kind of body are we going to have? What exactly is it going to, how is it going to take place? And so this is a good text. I didn't plan it that way, but on the believer's future hope. If you will, we're just going to today make some comments or make an introduction here, and we're going to read the text as we go rather than stand today. But Paul tells us, first of all, back in chapter 4, verse 1, that we don't lose heart. Why? Because we have a glorious ministry. We have a ministry that changes lives. That's the only thing on the face of this earth that will change a life. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then secondly, in chapter 4, verse 7, he says we don't lose heart because we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have within us the glorious gospel of Christ in these clay pots. That's all we are. We're just vessels. And then we don't lose heart, last week we saw, because we have a confident faith in chapter 4, verse 13. And now, in our text today, in 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 8, we see that we have a building of God awaits us in the heavens. Now, as we look at this text here, I want to tell you right away that this building of God is not heaven. It is your glorified, resurrected body. And now, look at, if you will, in verse 1 with me. For we know that our earthly house, this tabernacle, this tent, Paul said, if it were dissolved, if it would be torn down, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, see, which is from heaven. So this building of God is not heaven. It is although we have that, it is our glorified, resurrected body. This is not the same thing he's talking about in John 14, verses 1 through 6. It's the believer's glorified body. Remember, Paul was a tent maker. He said, this tabernacle, this tent, you know, this vessel we live in now, you know, clay pots, it's a temporary, you know, it's fragile, it's weak. And I don't think I have to tell you that. I can look at you and tell that you're living in a weak vessel, right? And we're living in that. But one day, we're going to have a body that is eternal, it's beautiful. It will never show any signs of age or pain or sickness. And we're awaiting that. But right now, we're absent from the Lord, present in our bodies. But one day, we will not be. He says in verse 1, this tabernacle. Verse 4, this house. He's talking not about heaven. He's talking about the body that awaits you, your future hope. Now, I want to share with you three reasons the believer has this future hope. Found in our text. Number one, we have a sure word. Look again in chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tabernacle, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. How do we know? Because we believe what the Word of God says. This is not a superficial belief. It is a deep embracing perception of the truth. We embrace this truth. Remember back in chapter 4, verse 14, Paul says he connected this with the resurrection of the Lord. Knowing that he which raised up Jesus Christ shall raise us up also by Jesus. See, the believer is going to have a bodily resurrection. We're not going to have we had a spiritual resurrection when we got saved. But God has promised he's going to raise these bodies up and they're going to be changed like nothing we've ever can imagine. In the past, in the present, and the future. Right, Brother Danny? I'm looking for my glorified body. Again, when I'll be 6'2", blonde hair, eyes, and blues. I'm looking forward to that time when I will be changed. So we know this. See, we talked about this the other week. When you know and embrace the Word of God, you can live with a confident faith because this is what the Bible says. Amen? And the Bible is true. We know we can trust the Word of God. You know, it burdens my heart when I hear about Christians going to consult a fortune teller, you know, or a Ouija board, a spiritist, or a deck of cards to find out what the future holds or what lies on the other side of death. We know what lies on the other side of death. The Bible tells us, amen, what lies on the other side of death. There's no maybe to it. We know for certain what lies. The moment we take our last breath, if you're a believer, you're going to shed this old tent and you're going to go right into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And be with Him forever and ever until the resurrection and to get your glorified body. And then you'll walk all over heaven, but not before. So we don't need to consult the world's way of trying to tell the future. Paul says we know. He connects that to verse, chapter 4, verse 14. We know that He is alive. We know that Christ is alive. And He's promised because He's alive, all those who believe in Him will be raised again one day. Amen? We have that confident assurance. We can know that death cannot claim us. Because I live, Jesus said, you shall live also. Amen? Now, if our tent is taken down, King James says dissolve, we could say taken down, we need not fear, because when the believer dies, the body goes to the grave, is asleep in Jesus, but the spirit and soul go right into the Lord. The spirit and the soul is eternal. It lives forever. Ken Burgess, you can't see Ken Burgess. You can look at me and just say, wow, man, we got a beautiful preacher this morning, right? And you can look at me and tell, but my real self is my spirit and my soul. Amen? That's me. And we grieve so much over these bodies. They're just vessels. They're just tents, temporary tabernacles, folks. These are not us, right? Is that correct language? Our bodies are not us. It's what's inside of our bodies, what God has placed there. I want to correct two myths today, this morning, really quickly. I like to correct myths. When the believer dies, they do not become angels. Angels are angels, humans are humans. God has a selected number of angels. You can't get any less or any more. We don't become angels. God didn't need another angel. God has all the angels He wants. A believer is a believer. We go to heaven as in our resurrected body. Later on, we'll be with Him, right? Can you say it with me? We don't become angels when we die. Well, a little bit. Y'all coming along there, but I'm going to have to be like the black preacher and train y'all a little better. But, you know, and if I had a child die when they were young, it was not because God needed a little angel, okay? And also, I want to correct something else. I am tired of preachers, but Danny's saying that a funeral will make the family feel good and said, he's walking all over heaven. What? We got his body right down here in front of the pulpit. He's not walking all over heaven until the resurrection. And he gets his new body. Now I got that out of the system, I can go on now. When Jesus Christ returns for His own, He will raise the dead. Bodies in glory, spirit, all that will be joined together. And we'll be with Him gloriously in eternity in a place called heaven. In our building from God. In our new body. So how do we know we have this future hope? Number one, we have a sure word. Secondly, in verses 2 through 5, we have a steadfast passion. Notice what he says there in verse 2. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Groan means to have an intense passion or longing. Paul was not expressing a morbid desire for death, but rather, in fact, a statement of just the opposite. He was eager for Jesus to return so he could be with Him. Paul expected to be alive when the rapture took place. In 1 Thessalonians 4, he said, we which are alive and remain. Paul didn't want to be unclothed. What does that mean? That unclothed there is talking about being in a disembodied state. Paul wanted to be in his body. Christ comes at the rapture. He goes to heaven and gets that building from God, and he's never unclothed. He always has the body, right? And that's what Paul is talking about. He was eager for Jesus to return so that he would be clothed upon with the glorified body. Paul did not want to be in the disembodied state. Do you realize when I die, you're going to bury my body a few days later. I'm with the Lord, and I am in a disembodied state, the Bible calls it. I'm unclothed with my body. But there's coming a day I'm going to be clothed again at the resurrection of the body. Amen? Now, Paul presented three possibilities here as we look at this text, and look in verses 3 through 5. So be it that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Paul says, in our intermediate state, okay? He says, for we know that all that are in this tabernacle, we do groan, being burdened, not for that which we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up at victory. Life, that's talking about the rapture. Now he that hath wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. Now, Paul says here there are three possibilities for the believer. Number one, we would be in our tent, in our tabernacle. We'd be alive, residing in this tent, in this tabernacle. And everybody here is in that state today, right? Everybody here is clothed upon by your earthly body. And then the second possibility is dead. We'd be unclothed, out of this tent, out of this, we would be naked in a disembodied state. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about naked as naked. I'm talking about you would not have a body yet, right? Until we get the one from him. And then the third one is clothed upon, the transformation of the believer, the bodies at the return of Christ. So Paul was not hoping that he would be alive and on earth at the return of Christ. Paul was a pre-tribber, right? He believed in the rapture of the church before the tribulation period began. And so Paul is saying here that he basically telling us he didn't want to go through the experience of death, but he did. That's fine. But he expected to be alive when Christ came back. So Paul was hoping that he would be alive on earth at the return of Christ so that he may not have to go through the experience of death. The glorified body is the building of God. I can't tell you how to interpret the text. It's very plain in verse 1 and 2 that the building from God is our glorified body. A house not made with hands. Our house is from heaven. Now it's important to note that Paul was not groaning because he was in a human body. We long to see Jesus. But none of us really want to die, but when we die, we go to home to be with him. And we await that building that he has prepared for us, that glorified body. Paul's groan here was not because he was in his body. Paul's groan was for glory, that he would one day be clothed with his glorified, resurrected body. And again, this is good. I didn't plan it this way, but in a couple of weeks, we're going to get into 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 48, the believer's future resurrected body. Man, I'm telling you what, I'm going to have you crawling the aisles and thinking, man, I want to get in that body right now, right? The other Wednesday night, I hate to keep saying this, but I was talking about what's at stake November the 3rd on Wednesday night. I had them so depressed, Brother Danny, they were crawling out the church on their hands and knees, you know. I'll tell you what's ahead. It's the glorious return of our Christ, right? And going home to be with him. This explains why death holds no fear for the Christian. Now listen to me a few minutes. What is your greatest fear this morning? Biden being elected? No. I don't think you'd say that. What is our greatest fear? You lose your job? No, I don't think you'd say that. What is our greatest fear? Your house burned down? What is your greatest fear today? It's one of your loved ones would die, right? That's your greatest fear. But guess what? The Lord Jesus Christ has conquered our fears. Amen? Amen. He came out of the grave on third day and he promised that we will too. Paul called his death a departure in 2 Timothy 4:6, meaning to take down one's tent and move on. When I die, I just come out of this old earthly house, this old tent. I step out of it in the glory. I open my eyes. I see Jesus. And, you know, I can't take this body with me. I don't want to take this body with me because it's not eternal. It can't last what heaven has prepared for us. You'll need a glorified, resurrected body to contend with things in heaven, right? And so that's what he's talking about. How can we be sure that one day we have a new body? Because the Word of God tells us. But not only that, he also, in this passion here, gives us a down payment. Verse 5. He says, now he that wrought for us the same thing as God, who have given us the earnest of the Spirit, the down payment, the pledge. you know, my spirit lives within you, but you have a down payment. I'm going to come back for the body, right? And that's called the redemption of the body. We have the redemption of the spirit, but there is a bodily resurrection that Romans 8 talks about. God has promised us he's going to come back for the body, whether it's burned, whether it's at sea, whether it blew up in an airplane. Your body might, mine won't, I ain't going to fly. But whatever happens to our body, he's coming back for our body. Right? That's a promise from God's word. Because the Holy Spirit indwells and seals the believer is a down payment or a pledge or a security or a guarantee of a future inheritance, including our glorified body. So how can we have this future hope? Number one, we have a sure word. If you're not basing your life upon the certainty of God's word, then you're basing it upon the wrong thing. We have a steadfast passion. We groan, right? And then also in verses 6 through 8, we have a secure confidence. Look at verse 6 through 8. Therefore, we are always confident. Why? Because of the word of God and the promise of God. Therefore, we are always confident. That word confident there means assurance, full assurance. Confidence, just not like a weak I hope so or maybe so. It is a steadfast confidence in what God has promised. He says, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. But we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And then verse 9, I'll throw that in. Wherefore, because of that, we labor that whether we're absent or present or absent, we may be accepted of him. The people of God can be found in one of two places. We're either in heaven or we're on earth. Do you know that the church is just not the people you see on this earth right now that are believers, but we have the church in heaven, amen, that has preceded us, that has fallen asleep in Jesus Christ. Not one of them is in the grave. Their body is. Not one of them is in hell. Not one of them is in an intermediate state waiting. They are either in heaven or earth, right? We are not Catholic. We don't believe in purgatory, right? There's nobody, real kin, when I die, is not in the grave. My clay pot is. When I pastored over in Adel in the Cook County area, them folks were bad about leaving the casket open during the funeral service. And I hated that with a passion. Here I am talking to them about giving them comfort from the Word of God and eternal things, and then they come back up after the service is over, and the funeral director's got to pull them out of the casket. Right, Brother Danny? And everything I said went over their head. My loved one's not there. That's just a vessel, church, right? That's just a tent, temporary. It's not our house. I got that off my chest, too. I feel better already. Believers on earth are at home in the body, while believers who have died are absent from the body. Believers on earth are present, absent from the Lord, while believers in heaven are present with the Lord. When I die, absent in the body, present with the Lord. There's no hyphen. Immediately, we're going to open up our eyes and look upon the one who saved us. Forever and forever. Are you ready to go? All right. Well, y'all settle down. You'll go in your time. Okay. Because we have this confidence, we're not afraid of the suffering. Paul, this is what he's saying in these four messages. We're not afraid of the trials and tribulations and the dangers. Because a believer is willing to lose his life for the sake of Christ and the ministry of the gospel. Christ has conquered all our fears, folks. And I know I'm just as patriotic as you are. I love our republic. And our republic is at stake. But before we be too quick to blame the socialist Marxist Democrats, we need to understand America has killed 61 million babies. And we need to understand that America's Supreme Court has licensed same-sex marriage. It would be out of God's character to bless us. Okay? And I love my nation. I love it. And I don't want certain people to get in there. And I know that. I love my nation. But whatever we turn into, we are not in Rome where they're feeding us to the lions and burning us at the stake, right? And I'm telling you, we may lose our republic, but we're not going to lose our Christianity. Amen?
Amen?
We're going to be with the Lord forever and forever. Let's recap this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 1 through 5, 8, we see how we can be encouraged in the midst of the conflicts of life and not lose heart. Why we have a glorious ministry that transforms lives. God has given you something He hasn't given the world, and that's the gospel. Be able to share it and change your heart. We have a valuable treasure, an earthen vessel in this body. We need to share this treasure with the bankrupt world, right? And we run around in our little vessels with the treasure of the gospel hidden and not tell anybody about it. And then we have a confident faith that conquers fear. Do we understand today that Christ conquered death? Amen? Okay, y'all got silent on that one. I mean, that should be a given. Christianity 101, Christ conquered death. Amen? And because the same Spirit that rose up Christ from the grave is the same Spirit that's going to raise you and I up. And we have a future hope. What is that? Not only heaven, but we have a glorified body awaiting us. And we're going to get into what kind of body that's going to be in the coming weeks and exactly how that change is going to take place. And we'll get into that in the coming weeks. Not next Sunday morning, but the next Sunday after that, we're going to be talking about the believer's future body. And I want to tell you, folks, you might be ready to trade your body in right now, but you be faithful in the body that God has given you. Just hold back. You're going to get your body, right? It's going to be subtitle. Well, title is going to be the resurrection, the believer's future body. Subtitle, the believer's extreme makeover. Amen? We're going to have an extreme makeover, folks. It's going to be a wonderful time. Man, I'm ready to go right now. Forget lunch, you know. Even so, come Lord Jesus. All heads bowed, all eyes closed as our musicians come. Father, we thank you today for the hope that we have in these four messages because of the Word of God. Thank you today for the body that awaits us. This old body is going to be changed. It's going to be a different molecular structure. It's going to be a body like our resurrected Lord. We'll be able to do things like Jesus did, go through a wall, go through a window. We'll be able to go over the universe, whatever He wants us to do. We won't have to eat, but we could eat if we want to. It's going to be a glorious body. No decay, no pollution, no corruption. Forever and ever, we'll be with you in heaven, worshiping and serving you forever and ever in our glorified body. Maybe one day, Father, maybe today, there's people here today that ain't assured of that. They don't know Christ who gives them this hope. When they die, it's a totally different. They'll be raised to stand at the great white throne judgment and cast into the lake of fire. It burns forever and ever. They'll be given bodies, Paul says, that are fit for destruction. There's no such thing as annihilation. Everybody lives forever. And so, Father, I pray and thank you that by your grace, you have granted us the promise of this future hope. Whatever we need to do, the altar's open today. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.